welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk K-12 Education. I'm your host, Tanisha Lehman, Senior Education Consultant of Enrichment Strategies Services, LLC. We're a firm dedicated to designing dynamic learning experiences for educational institutions and entities that are not meeting their educational indicators. We work by converting capabilities into capacity, empowering individuals to grow with their learning goals. Here at Let's Talk K-12 Education Show, we are so glad you're here with us. Before we dive into today's conversation, I just want to give a quick moment to give a huge shout out and thank you in the spirit of Thanksgiving to you, our incredible listeners. We see you tuning in every single week, ready to engage with the kind of critical conversations that truly move our schools, that in turn move our communities forward. We cannot tell you how much we appreciate your energy as a community and your dedication as fellow education enthusiasts right here alongside me every single week. You're the heart of this show and the reason I'm so excited as your show host to share my thought leadership. Thank you for making this show what it is. Now, let's get into it. This week's episode is deeply personal to me. It is in memory of an EC colleague who affectionately referred to me as Mama Langley. The title of today's episode 35, season 2, is Exceptional Champion for Exceptional Children in Memory of an EC Teacher. I want to take a moment to be transparent with you. After celebrating a relaxing Thanksgiving with family and friends, there was this looming weight on my heart. The reality that after Thanksgiving, I would soon be paying my final respects to an exceptional educator and colleague. You see, she was the kind of person who loved hard, lived big and out loud, showed up as a magnificent supporter to family, friends, and colleagues. And most importantly, she stood in the gap for her exceptional children, her EC students. I stood in awe of her many times as she advocated for EC students in several IEP meetings I attended. Meetings where she was facilitating with confidence, with pride, and with an unshakable belief in her students and her abilities. Now, if you're listening and you're not familiar with what an IEP is, IEP stands for Individualized Education Program or Plan. It is a legal document and a living plan for students who are identified as needing special education services because they learn differently from their peers. Those documents are long, detailed, emotionally heavy, and they require so much thought, planning, and collaboration. I can remember one day sitting beside her during one of our IEP meetings. Papers were everywhere, goals, accommodations, modifications, all the things, all the teams sitting around the table as these plans were projected on the screen. And I looked at her and I said, how do you feel about having to fill out all of this, finding modifications, interventions, and documenting every detail for these IEP forms? Folks, she looked me straight in my eyes with a little twinkle in hers and said, Langley, I love designing those for my students. That answer stopped me. You see, because she didn't just say she tolerated it. She didn't say it's just part of the job. She said she loved it. She loved the designing. She loved individualizing. She loved making sure her students had what they needed on paper and in practice. That is the heart of an exceptional champion. And her impact didn't stop with students. She also mentored my oldest daughter, who was around her age. She took time to pour into her, have real conversations, and share nuggets of wisdom, because in her short time here, she lived big, she lived out loud, as I said, and her impact was wide. So I wanted her to speak into the life of my oldest daughter because I admired her. She went to school, she pledged a sorority. She had challenges along the way, but you wouldn't know it. She didn't look like it. She didn't act like it because her fruit bared ripe. She lived life to the fullest, and I couldn't have chosen a better person to speak into the life of my oldest daughter, and she did. And I want to tell my exceptional champion of a colleague, thank you so very much. I'll never be able to tell you enough. Maybe I'll be able to work it through the legacy that you left behind. So today's episode is dedicated to the EC students she championed, the families she worked alongside, the colleagues she lifted, the daughter she poured into, and the legacy she leaves behind as an exceptional champion for exceptional children. Exceptional children and Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, in education, we talk a lot about test scores, standards, pacing guides, and assessments. But one of the most powerful frameworks we have, especially when we're talking about EC students, is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you're not familiar, Maslow's hierarchy is a pyramid that shows what human beings need in order to thrive. It starts with those basic needs at the bottom and moves up. The physiological needs, food, water, sleep, rest. Then there's safety needs, feeling protected, stable, secure. Then there's love and belonging, relationships, connection, community. Then there's esteem, feeling confident, capable, and respected. And then at the very top is self-actualization, becoming who you are meant to be, realizing your full potential. For many exceptional children, these needs are not just nice to think about. They must be intentionally planned for. Think about this. A student with sensory needs may not feel safe or calm if the classroom is too loud or too bright. A student who struggles with communication may not feel a sense of belonging unless someone takes the time to learn how they express themselves. A student who has been labeled or underestimated may struggle deeply with esteem. I saw that often, especially if they constantly hear what they can't do instead of what they can. EC teachers, like the colleague I'm honoring today, are constantly working at the bottom layers of Maslow. Are my students comfortable? Are they safe? Do they know they belong here? Do they feel seen, not just seated? Only when these needs are met can we ask them to climb higher, to engage with academics, to take risks, to grow in confidence, and to step into their full potential. So as we continue this conversation, I want you to keep Maslow in your mind as the foundation for being a champion for exceptional children, because EC advocacy is not just about accommodations. It's about human needs first. So we're going to get into the champion framework, which is the acronym of the champion, which is CHAMPION. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 steps in this framework that we're going to talk about in honoring this exceptional champion for EC students. So the acronym and practical tips inspired by her legacy to honor this exceptional champion. I want to share a framework using the word champion, with each letter representing a way we can show up for exceptional children and their families, and how the families can also connect the home to school bridge. You might want to grab a notebook for this part. Here we go. The C in champion: create capacity and comfort. Before rigor, we need regulation. Make sure EC students have what they need physically, a snack if allowed, water, a quiet spot, sensory tools, movement breaks. I remember having the little things, contraptions that they can put in their hands and, you know, play with those when they start to feel fidgety, all kinds of things, so that they don't feel like they're standing out. They can feel that they're a part of. Start class with the check-in. How's your body feeling today? Excuse me. How's your brain feeling today? Create predictable routines, visuals, schedules, and signals that tell students you are safe here. You know what's coming next. This directly connects those physiological and safety needs at the bottom of Maslow's pyramid, the H in champion. Honor their humanity. EC students are not their labels, their diagnoses, or their IEP categories. Use their names with warmth. Talk to them, not around them. Include them in decisions whenever possible. Which one would you like to try first? Or does this feel helpful to you? My colleague honored her students' humanity by listening deeply. Even when the students' communication looked different than a typical conversation. The A in champion: advocate relentlessly. Being a champion means you are willing to speak up in IEP meetings when something suggested does not truly align with that child's needs. And parents, who can do this better than you? You might not know the theoretical side of it and the standards, but you know your child, and you know some things that you're doing at home that's working really well with them and their learning needs. So when you're brought to the IEP table, when it's time for your annuals or things of that nature, because again, I'm not an EC teacher, I'm a gen ed, so I don't always know all of the correct language, but I know enough just by sitting around many IEP meetings. So parents, that is your way to speak up. Don't feel as though you do not know what to say or how to say it because you didn't go to school to be an EC teacher. You're that child's greatest advocate. You're their parent. You know them better than anyone. You may not know those other sides, but you definitely have the right to speak up if they're mentioning something that's not in alignment. So you can ask things such as, is this accommodation actually being implemented in every class? We might need to revise this goal. This student can do more than this. Or mom or dad or grandma, or granddaddy, auntie Pookie, whoever it is, can say that's not really what I see at home. Advocacy is not about being combative. It's about insisting on what is right for the student, even when it's inconvenient or time consuming. The M in champion: modify and make it accessible. This is where the design comes in that my colleague loved so much. Break tasks down into smaller steps. Provide visual supports, sentence starters, or graphic organizers. Offer multiple ways to respond. They can respond by drawing, verbal answering, typing, pointing. Accessibility is not lowering expectations. It is making sure students can reach the expectations in a way that works for them. Now, before I move on with the framework and go to the next letter, I want to really stop and pause right there. And this is for our other educational advocates, for the students with identifications under EC. This is for the families at home that are raising these magnificent children that have identifications as EC. Making something accessible and making it where it is not challenging them are two totally different things. Now, I'll give you this example. I know that we're paying tribute to this wonderful, magnificent EC lead, exceptional champion, as an exceptional, for exceptional children. But let me say this. I was a general education teacher, not an EC teacher. But one of the things that I used to learn, I learned fairly quickly, because when they are identified, this is in all models. So this is the model that we use in the state that I'm in, and the county I'm in, and the school that I taught in. Students with IEPs for their reading and math stayed with the EC teacher. We only had them when it was time for science and social studies. And I will tell you that when I had my EC students come in, I gave them the same content and material as my other students, but I revised it in a way that still let them feel included, not excluded, but also provided them with the extra tools of support that they need so they would challenge themselves. So because their end of the year, end of the course, end of grade test that they take, they're going to have to know the same material as their other peers that's not identified with EC. So I offered those activities, literature passages to them as I did my other students. But however, I did break it apart and scaffold it in a way that provided them with additional support so they could feel successful. So I know that that was a whole mouthful and you're like, lady, is it that serious? Yes. Let's talk K-12 family. It is that serious because we want these, they have the ability to grow and they also have the ability to be proficient. Given the right teaching with the right instructional strategies, these students, these exceptional children can grow as well. They can become proficient. So yeah, I said all that to say, give them the support that they need. Do the gradual release when possible at home and at school so that these children can know that they can thrive, showing up as their authentic selves. Okay. Back to honoring an exceptional champion for EC students. So let me get back on track. Let's get to the P in the framework for champion. P stands for partner with families. Families of EC students are often tired, overwhelmed, juggling appointments and meetings, and sometimes grieving the gap between what they hoped school would look like and what it currently is. Now, I can speak from that on behalf of the families that we used to support whose children had IEPs, whether it was IEP or 504, which is physical. Some of these same students also have, not only do they just have learning that is different, but some of them may have behavior that is different. And that's a whole other different story when you're talking about the teachers that are serving them, but also don't discount the families that live with them, when they have behavior intervention plans and then they have an IEP. So it can be overwhelming. So being a champion means communicating with empathy and clarity because of the things that I just mentioned. Not just calling when something goes wrong, but calling to share a win. When I tell you, you will be on that family's Christmas list for whatever they can provide, whether it's a meal card, whether it's a gift card, whether it's a plate of food, because I was taught that in my former education. Don't just call these parents with something negative. Find an angle, find a win for this student. And the same way that you pick up your phone and call, or the same way you go in Class Dojo or your email to report something negative that little Johnny or little Janie did, take the same energy and reach out to these families to report something positive. It makes the world of difference. It makes the world of difference. So my colleague did this beautifully. She was often that bridge between home and school. And you know, her students had to really think she was the bee's knees, because not only did she teach them all day, but she was very active. She was a cheer coach. She did the step team. And most of the students on these things that she was coaching or managing were her students. So that spoke volumes for kids to sit in the classroom with you all day and then by choice want to continue to hang out with you for various reasons for activities. It was beautiful. She was beautiful there. What experiences she designed in her classroom for her students was magical. It was amazing. Let's get back to the champion framework. We're at the letter I now. So we're going to invest in strengths. Every EC student has something they can do well. Maybe they notice details others miss. Maybe they have a great memory for stories or songs. Maybe they're kind, funny, artistic, or tech savvy. Build their IEP goals and daily tasks around their strengths, not just their deficits. That's how we support esteem on Maslow's hierarchy, helping students see themselves as capable. Oh, in the champion framework, observe and adjust. What works on Monday may not work on Thursday. That's not just EC, that is general ed too. You know, you're like, oh, this works so well on Monday. What happened? Well, it's a different day, a different time. Different things have happened. So you have to be able to maneuver. You have to be flexible. Okay. You got to pay attention to energy levels, triggers, and patterns. If a strategy isn't working, change it, not the child. Keep asking, what is this behavior trying to tell me? Instead of, why are they acting like this? My colleague was a master at observing quietly, then adjusting quickly, rearranging the environment, changing the prompt, or giving a break before a meltdown. And before I go into the framework, I want to insert here, we had a student that was one of her identified students, and he came to us actually in a little bit of legal situation. But I will tell you, with the support that he got from this exceptional champion, and then with the school supporting her as the village, this child made a 360 while he was there with us. It was beautiful. It was amazing. But that just shows the power of being a champion and not looking at what they can't do, but dialing in on what they can do. Let's get to the N in the framework. The N stands for nurture, independence, and dignity. The goal is not to do everything for students. Okay, let me back up on, let me run up. That was so nice. I might have to do that one twice. The goal is not to do everything for these students. I know it can be scary for you as their parent, as their family member, as their teacher, as the staff that's working with these kids. It could be a little scary to entrust them to do certain tasks, but you eventually have to do a gradual release and just trust that they're going to be okay. So the goal is not to do everything for the students, is to help them do as much as they can for themselves with support. Okay, let's back up with that again. So nice, again, have to say it twice, with support. Teach them self-advocacy. If you need a break, you can use this card or this signal. Celebrate small steps. Yesterday, you needed my help for this. Today, you did the first part on your own. High five, finger clips, everything, okay? Protect their dignity. No shaming, no calling them out in front of peers, no rolling of eyes when they need the accommodation we agreed to. You see, when we nurture independence and dignity, we are helping EC students climb to those higher levels of Maslow's hierarchy, esteem and self-actualization. And you know, each episode in true capacity to capabilities, capabilities to capacity, I have another capacity builder, another challenge for you. So this is going to, the language is going to sound so much like it's around teachers, but it's actually for families in the effort to bridge home to school and not just for the champions to bridge school to home. So be a champion for one student this week. All right, K-12 family. You know, I love to leave you with something practical. This week is no different. This week's capacity builder challenge is simple but powerful. Step one, choose one student who you can't ask these things. So a teacher would know this, but if they're at home with you, the student has an IEP, a 504, or simply learns differently and needs a little more intentional support. Write their name down. Step two, do a champion check. Ask yourself throughout this week. And here is the framework. C, have I created capacity and comfort for the student today? H, did I honor their humanity in my tone and my body language? A, did I advocate for them in a meeting, conversation, or email? M, did I modify something to make learning more accessible? P, did I partner with their family in a positive, proactive way, and vice versa? Families, did you do it for the educators in your building? I, did I call out a strength, not just correct the behavior? O, did I observe and adjust at least one thing based on how they showed up today? N, did I nurture independence and dignity instead of doing it all for them or embarrassing them? Step three, reflect and record. At the end of the week, jot down one win and one next step. If you're a school leader, ask your staff this question in your next meeting. Who were you a champion for this week? And let's talk K-12 family. This is how we honor the legacy of EC teachers who have poured out their hearts by acting on what they modeled for us. As we close, I want to say directly to every EC teacher, para, related service provider, and caregiver listening, you are seen. Your work is sacred. And even when it feels like the paperwork is heavy, the meetings are long, and the behavior plans are exhausting, you are changing lives in ways you may never fully see. To my colleague, whose memory inspired this episode, thank you for loving your students loudly, advocating fiercely, designing those IEPs with joy, and reminding all of us what it looks like to be an exceptional champion for exceptional children. May we continue the work that you started. If you want to stay connected and continue these kinds of conversations, be sure to follow Enrichment Strategist Services LLC on Facebook and LinkedIn for inspiration on transforming learning through leadership, empathy, and capacity building. We're not just building schools, we're building capacity, one empathetic leader at a time. You've been listening to Let's Talk K-12 Education Show right here on Realizing Your Potential TV Network. I'm your host, Tanisha Langley, Senior Education Consultant with Enrichment Strategist Services, LLC. Remember, one conversation, one discussion, and one connection at a time, we are designing learning experiences that transform capabilities into capacity, not just for students, not just for families, but for entire communities. Education is more than a system, it's a movement. And together, we are building the future, brick by brick, voice by voice, and learner by learner. If today's conversation sparked something in you, whether it's a question, an idea, or a desire to collaborate, or an interest in my education consulting and coaching services, I'd love to hear from you. If your district, school, or program is looking for data-driven results and professional development support that works in any setting, let's connect. You can reach me directly at letstalkk12education@gmail.com. Again, letstalkk12education@gmail.com. Until we meet again, right here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Realizing Your Potential TV Network. Keep pushing boundaries, keep believing in possibilities, and above all, keep realizing your potential. This is Let's Talk K-12 Education, where learning meets leadership and capacity becomes community strength. Wishing you and yours a great one until the next episode. Toodles to you for now.